And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett, honored to have you join me again this week. I have asked a very dear friend to come back on and have a chat with us. He is the pastor at Liberty Fellowship up in beautiful Kalispell, Montana. Pastor Chuck Baldwin joins me today. Pastor Chuck, welcome back.
Jerry, it's great to be with you again.
Now, before we get into the nitty-gritty and the nuts and bolts of what I want to talk about today, I want to give people a chance to know your website address so they can sign up and get your newsletters like I do.
Yes, thank you. My syndicated columns go out to tens of thousands of people electronically, and they're read via other sources by probably hundreds of thousands of people. And I've been writing those columns for over 20 years. So there's no charge whatsoever. And what you need to do is just go to my website, which is chuckbaldwinlive.com, all one word, chuckbaldwinlive.com. And at the top of the page on the left-hand column, there's a big word that says subscribe and a graphic that I think looks like a newspaper. So you can't miss it. And then all you got to do is put your email address in there and then hit the subscribe button, and you will automatically be on the mailing list to receive my syndicated column, which comes out weekly on Thursday. So again, that's chuckbaldwinlive.com.
I am a happy subscriber to the newsletter articles that come out, and I can't wait to get them. And, you know, it's so funny, Chuck, I get probably three or four other people forward their email from you to me to make sure I get it.
Yeah, that's the beauty of, you know, just being able to send it to somebody's email. They can forward it, they can share it, they can print it, copy it, they can do whatever they want with it, and we encourage that. And there's never a cost. We just want to get the information out. So I hope that many of your listeners will indeed do that and go to the website and subscribe to the column.
On top of that, I noticed to the right, you know, I go straight to your columns. I haven't looked at your website a lot. I go straight to the columns and I read your articles. But to the right, you've got a red button that says Liberty Fellowship.
Right.
And you click on that and you can actually watch your service right there.
Oh, yes. Yeah, all of our messages are archived online on our webpage, which is libertyfellowshipmt.com. LibertyFellowshipMT stands for Montana.com. And we link, of course, to my website and all of the messages. And I last Sunday, interesting to the discussion that we're going to be having today, is last Sunday, I just finished my prophecy message number 6, which is from Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. And I conclusively show from the scriptures that the Gog and Magog prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39 is not, I repeat, is not identifying Russia. And I know that the vast majority of evangelicals, they believe that Gog and Magog represent the last days before the second coming of Christ, and that refers to Russia. And it doesn't refer to Russia in any shape, manner, or form. And I go into the scriptures to prove that. So that was the message last Sunday. But all of our messages, as you just noted, are archived on our website.
So go to Liberty Fellowship MT, like Montana.com, and you can check it out there. Pastor Chuck, I am so grateful that you've taken time to spend with us. And I noticed your articles, and you had quite a few on Ukraine. Mm-hmm. So when the initial reports came out through lamestream media about Russia invading Ukraine, What was your initial feeling about these reports?
You know, there's a way that I can always tell whether something is news or whether it's propaganda. And this is a lifetime of experience talking. But anytime you notice that the entire power establishment from Washington, D.C., the politicians, the Republicans, the Democrats, the conservatives, the liberals, Hollywood, the entertainment industry, evangelical leaders, everybody is saying the exact same thing about whatever it is, and they regurgitate it over and over and over again, and then they condemn anybody that dares to challenge the narrative that they're putting forward. Anytime you see that happening, you know you are being propagandized. You know this is propaganda. This is not news. This is propaganda. And so when this thing first started, that's always what I look for. Just like with COVID, think back to this time of year 2 years ago and how the media, government officials, bureaucracies, evangelicals jumped on board, entertainers, everybody started regurgitating the COVID narrative over and over and over and over and over. And that went on for 2 years. Well, this is the same thing happening all over again, only this time it's Ukraine, not COVID. They've just switched the players. But it's the same stratagem. So I believe this is total propaganda. I don't believe anything that the news is telling us about Ukraine.
You know, the comment that Sandra and I had at the office one day was, the media that is reporting how heinous Putin is for invading this sovereign nation were the same people that were feeding us all the lies about COVID 2 years ago. How right. do you trust them now?
Yeah. In fact, my column that we're talking about, it talks about that. You know, the people that realized that they were being lied to are now turning around and they're believing everything that the same liars told us about COVID, they're believing them about Ukraine. I find it fascinating that somewhere along the line, the American people have lost the ability to think critically. You're going to say, yes, we were lied to. CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, Fox News, they all lied to us for 2 years about COVID. Now, you turn around and you believe them, the same people, lock, stock, and barrel, when they tell us what they tell us about Ukraine. It makes no sense to me. I'll never understand that, Jerry. I never will.
It just floored me. And I had a doubt in my mind when this first started coming on the news. And I'm wondering, okay, when is the other shoe going to drop? And now it seems that the shoe that's dropped is our economy is in the tank. Gas prices are at record highs. We've got food shortages, and it's only going to be exacerbated because the farmers don't have fuel to farm. They can't afford the fertilizer that it's going to take to produce. The truckers can't afford to transport the product, and food shortages are going to be a thing that we are going to have to deal with. And it seems that all of these are the shoe that's dropping, and it's just another ruse from the same playbook from COVID.
Absolutely, it's a continuation. You know, the COVID was played out as far as they could take it, and then the American people awakened and resisted. Well, it's no accident that as soon as COVID was on its way to the exit door, voila, now war with Russia comes in. The timing was absolutely perfect for the globalists. And I think that all of this is orchestrated. I don't think that there is anything surprising about this to the globalist elite that usually are micromanaging world affairs. So I think this is a script that's being played out. And obviously the American people are, and the rest of the world, I mean, because when you look at the third world countries, you look at the poor parts of Asia and Africa, and even Europe is going to be hit far greater with the things you just talked about than the United States. As bad as it's going to be for us, it's going to be 10 times worse for Europe, and it's going to be 1,000 times worse for Asia and Africa. So this is a global stratagem that is being employed here. And, you know, I think we have to remember that the American people have the power anytime they awaken to these conspiracies and they decide that they're not going to go along with them anymore. We, the people of the United States, have the power to change it. That's the thing that I wish more Americans could understand, that the power of this country and the power of resistance is still as great as it's ever been. You know, in the scripture, we're told that if we resist Satan, he will flee from us. You know, and that's true. These satanic globalist bullies, and that's all they are. Whenever they are resisted by the people, they have to retreat. The power of the people to change these things is still very much in our hands. The problem is the media and the churches and all of the entertainment industries work together to put out a propaganda narrative and confuse and deceive the people, and they're not able to understand their ability and their need to resist.
I agree.
Again, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. So said Thomas Jefferson.
The fact that we have so many weak-kneed, spineless, I'm going to say it, pastors in the pulpit that won't preach the true word, that will kowtow to the tyranny that we are being subjected to. We talked about this on a program before. We have more power in our churches with God-fearing, blood-bought Christians, not the spineless, lukewarm pastors, but we have some really good pastors. And if we had more, we could foment change instantly and not have to deal with the tyranny we're going through.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, without question. If the pastors would have stood up and resisted the COVID narrative when it first began 2 years ago, it would have died on the vine. That we would have been spared the last 2 years of lockdowns and shutdowns and people not having food in the stores and jobs going away and prices escalating exponentially and all this. All of that would have never happened if the pastors would have stood up and said, no, we're not going to close our churches. You've gone too far. You've crossed the red line. You know, you're not God. You have no authority over the church. And you're telling us to close our worship services? No, we're not going to do it. And if they would have done that, it would have given courage to the rest of society to also resist, and it would have died on the vine. The church's capitulation is what allowed Fauci and Gates and all these people that foisted this on us to be successful. It's always been that way. It will always be that way. When the churches stand up, there's victory. When the churches sit down, there's defeat. It all hinges on the Christians, the churches, the pastors. And look, let's be honest. The reason that the pastors didn't stand up then, and they're not going to stand up now, and they're never going to stand up, they're never going to stand up, is very simple. It's the same reason that the businesses didn't stand up. Did you notice when the COVID situation started really growing, how quickly the businesses adjusted to the tyranny of the COVID empire? And the commercials that we saw on television were, everybody was wearing masks. You know, everybody was getting inoculated. You know, everybody was separating themselves from their fellow man. It was instantaneous almost. It was amazing to me how quickly corporate America adjusted their brand, their marketing strategy, to accept and be agreeable with the tyrannical narrative coming out of Fauci and every president and politician in the country.
Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was absolutely zero resistance. Instead, they just changed their marketing strategy to fit in with the tyrannical conduct of the country. So it didn't matter to them whether it was liberty or tyranny. It didn't matter to them whether whether it's righteousness or degradation. It doesn't matter what the social, political, spiritual environment is of the country. Corporate America adjusts their marketing strategy and their business model to fit whatever is going on around them so they can keep selling products. That's how, I mean, that was so obvious to me over the last 2 years, and how the business community was absolutely worthless as far as any attempt to stand up for freedom. Well, the churches did the same thing. And the reason the churches acted in the same way as the businesses acted is because in the minds and the hearts of the pastors and the church leaders, they are a business first. Under the 501c3 IRS regulations, of course, we know that that's true,
mm-hmm.
that they're a nonprofit corporation. The key word there is corporation. They're a corporation first. They're a business first. And the product, the church message and the church format, et cetera, is designed to simply make sure that the corporation succeeds. And so, you know, a shoe company sells shoes, but it's not shoes that's primarily important to the shoe company. It's the profits that the shoes generate for the corporation that's important.
Yeah.
If shoes stop being profitable to the corporation, they'll start making something else. The product is just a means of making sure the corporation is successful. You following me?
Oh, very much so.
So that's the way the churches operate. The corporation is the bottom line. The corporation must be successful. So, and that means money. That means crowds. You know, that means the bottom line. So in order to be successful, they must adjust their business model to fit whatever is going on in society at the time. Doesn't matter how right it is or how wrong it is. Doesn't matter how biblical it is or how unbiblical it is. They pay no attention to the scriptures as to what a church, a real New Testament church, is supposed to do and not to do. That's not the model. The model is making sure the corporation grows. And so when COVID came along and demanded shutdowns and demanded social distancing and demanding all these things of the churches, they went right along with it without a single whimper, because it was helping them. They just, what they did is just adjusted the business model to fit the societal demand at the time so that it could continue to grow the corporation. And of course, the government was very, you know, very sly in the way they bribed the churches and businesses and the media, for that matter. We now know that the federal government paid over $1 billion to the networks, the media networks, to promote the COVID narrative. $1 billion. But the churches were given all these stimulus checks to close their churches. So even though they weren't holding services, they were getting money. They were growing the corporation from the government that was subsidizing them to go along with their tyranny. So the corporation continued to grow. So you see, the churches are a corporation. They're a business, and they are operating as a business model. And they're doing the exact same things that the corporations do in order to grow the business. And that's why the churches are worthless in terms of standing up for truth and resisting evil and all these things. It's because they're not really a church, they're a corporation.
And now it seems that they've taken on the mantra that is being spewed from the propagandists, that we need to defend Ukraine.
Yeah.
What possible benefit do we have from a conflict on either side?
Yeah, exactly. What is, you know, ask yourself, maybe a good bumper sticker would be, what has Ukraine done for you today? You know, I mean, before all this happened, people couldn't even find Ukraine on a map. And you know, they don't know anything about Ukraine. They still don't know anything about Ukraine, except what the media tells them, that they're these victims and these poor people, and then they paint the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, as some kind of a freedom fighter. And I've heard people, Christian people, compare the Zionist globalist toady Zelensky with George Washington. That kind of ignorance is generated by several factors. One, of course, is the media propaganda, but there's another thing, and that is the misinterpretation of Bible prophecy, which, and my prophecy series is planned out, you know, months ahead of time. And so I was planning on bringing this message that I preached this past Sunday, you know, many weeks ago, before all of this conflict in Ukraine took place. But how fitting that it would, you know, be preached in this time. You know, when I talk about Gog and Magog in Revelation, because here's most of the evangelical preachers and Christians buy into Christian Zionist theology and Schofield futurism. The notes in the Schofield Reference Bible have done more to destroy the true knowledge of God's word relative to the new covenant and biblical prophecy than anything in history. And it has been such a pervasively accepted theological position. The vast majority of Bible colleges, seminaries, and universities all teach Christian Zionism. 80% of all evangelical churches and Christians believe in the doctrines of Schofield futurism, dispensationalism, or Christian Zionism. All terms will fit. 80%. And that means that 80% of the pastors and Christians and churches and schools and radio broadcasters and televangelists, et cetera, believe that the Ezekiel Gog and Magog prophecy is about the second coming of Christ and it's identifying Russia. And so because of that, they feel that Russia is this big bad wolf in the world. And no matter what Russia does, it's all evil and it's all wrong because they believe that Russia is the Gog and Magog of Ezekiel. So you see, their twisted understanding of Scripture has jaundiced their perspective regarding world affairs. And so the fact that this was Russia engaged in this conflict with Ukraine immediately took these preachers and Christians back to Ezekiel 38. And if you listen to these televangelists, I mean, it is all over the board. These guys are talking about the second coming and talking about the fulfillment of prophecy, and they're going on and on, and they're promoting these books and these tapes and all these things. You know, and they do this every single time something comes up relative to Russia, because of their misunderstanding and misinterpretation of Ezekiel 38 and 39. So I believe that is a major factor as far as the Christians are concerned, Jerry, as to why they are so rabid in their defense of Ukraine, because they believe that Ukraine is being victimized by this evil empire of Russia because of their misunderstanding of Old Testament prophecy. And then number two, they do not understand anything about the globalist New World Order agenda. They know nothing about the Zionist part of that agenda. They know nothing about Ukraine's history. They don't know that, you know, many centuries ago, Ukraine was the epicenter of the Khazarian Empire. And, of course, the Khazarians were the forerunners of the Ashkenazi Jews, which became Zionist Israel. And they don't understand any of that. They don't understand that Ukraine is a corrupt vassal state of Klaus Schwab and George Soros and the deep state, that it is a money laundering, criminal banking enterprise, child trafficking. You could think of all of the nefarious activities that the deep state is involved in, and Ukraine has been at the very heart of that for many years. So you're not talking about an innocent victim here. Ukraine is corrupt. Zelensky is corrupt. These guys are criminals. The Azov battalion that is doing so much of this damage, and I believe that, that when you talk about Bucha and all these supposed atrocities that are going on in Ukraine that are being blamed on Russia, I believe that that is propaganda as well. My live stream Sunday messages at Liberty Fellowship are watched by viewers all over the world, Jerry. It's amazing how God has expanded the outreach. We have people, of course, all over the United States and Canada, but we have people in Europe, including Northern Europe like Finland. We have people in Eastern Europe like Ukraine and Russia. We have people in Palestine. We have people in the Middle East, Lebanon. We have a pretty large audience. We have people that follow us all over the world. And when all this stuff began to take place in Ukraine, I began to get correspondence from Ukrainian people, Christian Ukrainians that follow Liberty Fellowship. And they began to share with me their eyewitness testimonies as to what's going on in Ukraine. And people that have families who live in Ukraine would do the same thing. The majority of them have told me about the Azov Battalion, which is a neo-Nazi. You know, it's another thing about Ukraine that most Christians don't know, that Ukraine is home to more neo-Nazis and more neo-Nazi gangs than any country in the world. In the world, Jerry. And these gangs are ruthless. And they have been going into the areas of Ukraine where that there are large populations that are sympathetic to the Russians. You got to remember that, you know, the Ukraine-Russian people are one blood, and they have been for 1,300 years. The Russian people that live in that entire region are connected at the hip. Their bloodlines, like I said, they go back over 1,000 years. And, of course, all of Ukraine and all of the cities that you hear about on the news nowadays, these were all part of Russia, you know, for the last 300 years. And something else, think about this. Ukraine, the borders of Ukraine were put together by two of the world's most heinous monsters, Lenin and Stalin. Lenin and Stalin were the two guys that drew up the map that created Ukraine as we know it today. They're the ones that put together the boundaries for Ukraine. And, you know, until that point, you know, the Ukraine did not even exist in such a fashion. And, you know, what Putin is saying, what he wants is he wants to go back to the pre-Soviet days and bring the Russian-loving people of the Donbass and areas of that portion and Crimea, of course, back into the Russian planet. So this is all about history. You know, as far as the Russians are concerned, this is all about history. And NATO has been expanding and expanding and expanding and expanding. And anyway, the point is that the American people, especially the Christians, are totally ignorant of all that. And the Christians, the only thing they see is Ezekiel 38 and 39, Gog and Magog, Russia's bad. They're militarily involved in Ukraine. We got to support Ukraine, blah, 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 blah. And they have absolutely no cognizance of the history of what's going on and the good and the evil that's associated with the conflict means nothing to them. And Ukraine's corruption is totally unknown to the vast majority of Christians. So you put all that together, and that's why you've got these Christians out there going bonkers over, you know, protecting Ukraine.
Well, Pastor Chuck, we've reached the end of the first half. Thank you so much for being a guest today. And, well, we get back on the other side, we're going to have a whole lot more to talk about. Stay with us, won't you? You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. In 1948, the Khazarians went to Palestine where they conquered the peaceful Palestinians and set up a pretentious new Kingdom of Israel. The Khazarians, claiming to be Jews, are from Magog. Now, with new and astonishing archaeological and genetic discoveries, we have amazing evidence that, in fact, Magog is situated in southern Russia in the Caucasus. Khazaria is the land of the non-Semitic Turkic peoples who falsely claim to be Jews. From Khazaria in the 8th century, these pagan peoples, having converted to Judaism, fled to Europe to escape invading Russian warriors. Led by Satan's Gog, in the last days they are destined to plunge the entire world into bloodshed, chaos, and war. The Matrix of Gog is written by Daniel Patrick. It's 160 pages. We're only asking $18 for this powerful book. Please add $5 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $23 for The Matrix of Gog. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone us on our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those same charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and the zip code is 78669. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Pastor Chuck Baldwin. Pastor Chuck, welcome back.
Sure, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
We talked a little bit about the programming that's being, well, the propaganda that's being bombarded on the citizenry here in America. And do you think that we have become more susceptible to this mind control programming? That is why there's such an increase in the sympathies towards the Ukrainian war effort?
You know, I thought after the COVID scandemic had begun to wane and more people across the country were awakened to the fallacy of it all, that perhaps we had turned a corner on that issue. You know, because, you know, at the beginning of the COVID so-called pandemic, everybody just fell in lockstep and believed everything that they were told, which, you know, I think for the first couple of weeks was perhaps understandable. But as the narrative continued to build and the encroachments on our liberties began to build, then it should have been obvious to everybody that this was a planned event for the purpose of not only controlling the thinking of the people and propaganda, but to get them accustomed to enslavement with the lockdowns and the shutdowns and the schools closing and businesses shuttering and churches not meeting and everything that, you know, employers going out of business and stores and restaurants closing up or reducing hours. And, you know, the entire society was brought under the thumb of Marxist-style government. And it took much, much too long for the American people to begin to figure it out. But after almost 2 years, then many of the people that had gone along with it began to realize that, you know, they'd been had. And they stood up and they reached a limit on the number of people that were going to submit to the vaccines. And it wasn't a matter that they were vaccine hesitant. They were actually vaccine rebellious. You know, they were not, going to take them no matter what. And so the powers that be understood that, they realized that they had taken that phony pandemic as far as they could, and that they would not be able to take it any further. So I thought that at that point, well, hooray, a sizable percentage of the population has awakened to the brainwashing and the propaganda, and now are much smarter than they were 2 years ago. And then overnight, bam, you know, the COVID narrative begins to die out. And as soon as that happens, we are hit with a war narrative in Ukraine. And the exact same media that were lying to us for 2 years about COVID are now trusted again by the American people to be telling them the truth about Ukraine. I find it amazing how gullible the American people are when it comes to believing the mainstream media. It's like it takes forever for them to realize that they're being had. And, you know, it should have been easy. This should have been an easy one. So, hey, wait a minute. This is no coincidence. No, COVID is waning. They've run the gamut on that. And the American people have stood up. The truckers have protested, and people are standing up, and employers are standing up. And so this thing is over. And then they turn right around and they fall hook, line, and sinker for the Ukraine narrative that's being foisted on us by the exact same media that lied to us for 2 years about COVID. See what I'm saying? How in the world can we awaken to something so egregiously duplicitous as the lies that were told about COVID? And we get that now. It took a long time, but we get it. And then they turn right around with the Ukraine narrative, and bingo, they believe it lock, stock, and barrel, just like they did with COVID. I find it incredible how easy the media seems to be able to manipulate the American people.
Very much so. I don't get it. I really don't. You know, when this launched, when this so-called Russian invasion launched into Ukraine, I was a doubting Thomas. I'm not going to lie, because of the narrative that was being put out there. But doing research and doing some digging, it seems as if Zelensky and his Zionist handlers were creating a genocide, an ethnic cleansing in his own country. And then the citizens that were being murdered, Putin came in to try to rescue them. But that's not the narrative they want out there.
You know, Jerry, here's the thing that I have come to understand, and I wish that all your listeners could really kind of get this in their soul, because it really will help us when we are bombarded with these kind of situations. Whenever you see the entire power establishment, I mean everybody, the left, the Democrats and the liberals, the right, the Republicans and the conservatives, they're all in perfect agreement. Fox News, CNN, perfect agreement. You got Hollywood talking heads and the figureheads, and the evangelical leaders on the right, all saying the same thing. When you see that broad spectrum of society from all corners and all quarters, people that supposedly vehemently disagree with each other about, you know, these issues and their political enemies or social enemies or whatever, and they're all saying the exact same thing. And they're doing it, beating the drum 24/7, 7 days a week. And anybody left or right who comes out in questioning the narrative is, you know, condemned to hell by everybody. When you see that scenario developing, you don't have to know who the players are. You don't have to know the circumstances. You don't have to really understand the issue. At that moment, you need to realize this is propaganda. You are being set up by the power establishment of the country that all of these people I just talked about are in the deep pockets of the deep state. And so, I mean, when I first saw this happen, that's what caught my attention. Before I knew the issues, I had to study the issues for myself. I had to do the digging like we all do. But before I did that, when all this thing first started, coming right out of the COVID narrative, I saw the same thing happen, the same spirit of deception, the same unanimity of opinion from everybody, you know, from Joe Scarborough to Sean Hannity, you know, everybody in between, all pounding the anti-Russia drum and the pro-Ukraine drum and over and over. And as soon as I saw that, I said, this is propaganda. Then I went to study for myself to see what was going on, but I knew it was propaganda because of what I just said. Now, to your part about the genocide taking place in the Donbass, you know, that's the part that nobody wants to talk about. And, you know, I'm thankful for some of the writers that are out there that are really trying to sound the alarm of this and tell the truth about it. But unfortunately, they're a very small number of people, and they're drowned out by all this cacophony of propaganda that's going on. But from 2014 onward, the Azov mercenary militia, which is nothing more than a bunch of neo-Nazi Hitler wannabes, they're gangsters. Many of them are criminals who were let out of jail. Many of them are professional killers and mercenaries. They all share a love of Adolf Hitler and Nazism. And they have been, with the blessing of Zelensky in Ukraine, the government of Ukraine, they have been allowed to murder and commit genocide against the Russian-speaking people of the Donbass. And that's been going on since 2014. So there have been tens of thousands, maybe more than that, of these innocent civilian people who the only reason that they have been persecuted and murdered and raped and so forth is because they have family connections, heritage that goes back to Russia. They're Russian-speaking people. They go back to Russian history, you know, for hundreds and hundreds of years in their families. And because of that, they are being singled out and being destroyed. So finally, the two provinces of the Donbass made the decision to, and it was really out of desperation. There was nothing else they could do. So they legally separated from Ukraine, just like we separated from Great Britain. They separated from the Ukrainian government. Well, when they did that, they became independent republics, recognized as such by the Russian Federation. And at that time, they appealed to Mr. Putin to protect them from the genocide that was taking place in their provinces. And so, among other things, including the NATO situation, Putin decided that he would rescue the people in the Donbass from the Azov militia mercenaries that were committing genocide against him. So that was the catalyst of what began this so-called invasion of Ukraine. It was a defensive maneuver for the Russian-speaking people in the Donbass to have some protection from the neo-Nazis that had been killing them and unbelievable, torturous barbarity going on in those two provinces for the last 8 years. And so that's the part of this story that the mainstream none of them, Fox News, CNN, none of them will tell you what's going on. But that was the main impetus for the action, that along with the NATO situation for what Russia did.
You can't blame them. I mean, we promised after Germany reunited that we wouldn't, and we've expanded eastward since. And, you know, the genocide, we should have been immediate. I mean, we're talking 8 years ago. We should have, because we're the world police, we should have been taking care of the people of Donbass, Russian or not. But, you know, Zelensky is the puppet of George Soros and the Zionist movement.
Well, and we should be defending the Palestinians.
Well, we should.
the same things that are happening in Ukraine in the Donbass have been happening since 1947 in the Palestinian communities.
Amen.
West Bank, it's the same scenario. This entire century, almost from 1947 until current, the Palestinian people have been victimized by the oppression of the Zionist government in Tel Aviv. Scores of thousands of people have been brutally murdered, tortured, raped, pillaged, plundered, the ethnic cleansing going on, the genocide going on. You know, we've said nothing about that. You know, it's like there are certain people, certain governments that are exempt from the laws of humanity and the laws of decency. We can get very righteously indignant when a particular country may commit some atrocities, and we should, no matter who does it. But whenever Ukraine does it, we turn a blind eye and say nothing. When Israel does it, we turn a blind eye and say nothing. You know, so this is not new.
No, it's not. Now, do you think the Israelis and the Zionist movement are using Zelensky as a puppet and are involved in this?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. You know, Zelensky has made the statement, I think a week ago, I put it in one of my columns, that whenever the war is concluded, Ukraine will become a, quote, and this is his words, a big Israel. And he said they plan on creating another Israel in the Ukraine. You got to understand that this goes back to the 6th century. You know, these countries, these are old countries. They have very rich and very old histories. And there's a history all over Europe that connects various countries to each other and the peoples and all the history of what happened. And Ukraine is the epicenter of what was the Khazarian Empire. And of course, the Khazars became the Ashkenazi Jews of Europe, which became the Zionist state of Israel. And that connection has never been severed. I mean, that has always been a part, if not a major, if not the major part of Ukraine's history. The Ukrainian rulers have always fallen in lockstep with whatever tyrant, you know, happens to come along at the time, or gangster or thug or whoever the strong man happened to be. They caught up with him. And of course, they did the same thing with Hitler at the beginning and before World War II. So they have that strong connection. And of course, we all know that Zionist elite, I'm not talking about the average Jewish people. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the Herzls and the Zionist elite back at that period who were manipulating world affairs for the creation of what is now the Zionist state of Israel, were very much a part in helping the Nazi empire come into existence and gain prominence. So, you know, Hitler was very much a part of the beginning element of the creation of what is now called Zionism, that whole effort. Zionism is not religious. It has nothing to do with Judaism or any other religion. It is strictly a political, economic machine. Anyway, so the nation of Ukraine was the epicenter of all of that. And so now, why is it that we have more neo-Nazi gangs and more neo-Nazis, period, in Ukraine than in any other nation in the world? Well, that goes back to this history I'm talking about. Why is Zelensky talking about making Ukraine a big Israel? And what he meant by that was several things. Was Israel is a military police state. And that's what a lot of Christian people don't understand. They think it's a democracy. They think it's freedom and, you know, all this kind of baloney. It is one of the most egregiously enacted military police states in the world. And if anybody's been there, and I've been there, and I've seen it for myself, and if you don't believe me, talk to the Palestinians that live there. But so what Zelensky is saying is he wants to make Ukraine a military police state, and he wants to pattern the future of Ukraine on and from Israel. So that's not a coincidence either. So you see how all these connections historically are very much in play with what's going on in modern Ukraine.
That makes sense, because in your latest article at Chuck Baldwin Live, I was reading through it earlier, Prime Minister Viktor Orban from Hungary just got elected. Honestly, I didn't know that there was an election going on in Hungary.
Yeah, how about that? You know, the Western world just completely ignored that. He won his fourth term, and it was a miracle of God. It really was. Hungary's prime minister is a Christian, and he's an outspoken Christian. He's very public about it. And whenever he was in the race, George Soros poured millions of dollars in Hungary trying to defeat Orban from his election. And Zelensky also did everything he could to try and defeat the Hungarian prime minister. So whenever he won the election, he did it in spite of the millions of dollars that were coming in from the Western deep state, which, of course, George Soros is very much a part of. And Zelensky, which is, you know, almost a neighbor, using all of his influence and financial resources and, you know, people as well going into the country and trying to stir up opposition, et cetera. So all of this was happening, trying to make sure that he did not win re-election. But he did. He won in spite of all that. And when he gave his victory speech, he was talking about never in history has any political candidate had so much opposition from so many rich, wealthy, deep state people, and he named them, including Soros and Zelensky, and still won. So it says a lot about the voters in Hungary and the people of Hungary. But yeah, and the American people heard nothing about that.
Yeah, I had no idea until I read your article. I mean, I know that Viktor Orban was the prime minister, but it shocked me because it hit me right between the eyes, because I read constantly. And to see this in your article and not have come across it in any of the other news sites that I go to, and they're not mainstream, it floored me. And, you know, going back to Zelensky and wanting it to be Israel-like, it's a good thing Hungary is a Christian nation, because the Christians that are in Ukraine won't be welcome.
The persecution that happened against the Russian-speaking people in the Donbass is a precursor for what Christian Ukrainians and other people that live in Ukraine can expect in the future if somehow or another Zelensky is able to prevail in this conflict against Russia. I don't think he will, but it doesn't portend peace and prosperity for the people of Ukraine, when you realize what they've been doing for the last 8 years against the Russian-speaking people of the Donbass, and then to hear him say that he wants to make Ukraine a big Israel, meaning, of course, much bigger in land size, that does, I mean, people that, you know, Palestinian people that have kinfolk and people that have connections to that part of the world and have a history of that in their heritage and in their lineage, you know, they need to be really concerned about what that would mean for them if all of that came to pass. So we're not talking about a hero here. It just galls me to no end when I hear these conservatives and especially Christians that call Zelensky a hero. I heard one person even compare him to George Washington. And, you know, and they're making all of this up. And I tell you, I know we're running close to our time limit here, but, you know, the Christians, and the reason that they are so rabid in their opposition to Mr. Putin and to Russia in general is because of their false view of prophecy. They believe that Ezekiel's prophecy of Gog and Magog in chapter 38 and 39 references Russia. And they believe that Russia is, you know, the big enemy of God and Christ and the Battle of Armageddon and the Second Coming and all that. I preached my sixth prophecy message a couple Sundays ago, Jerry, and it was about Ezekiel 38 and 39. And I went into great detail to prove from the scripture that the prophecy of Ezekiel relative to Gog and Magog in chapter 38 and 39 is not, I repeat, not identifying Russia. That Russia is not the Gog and Magog of Ezekiel, nor is it the Gog and Magog of Revelation chapter 20. It's not in the Bible. And the Christians have been listening to this Christian Zionist Schofield futurist prophecy doctrines for so long. And they've got this built-in animus and hatred against Russia because they believe this false prophecy teaching. And that's why, whenever all this happened, the Christians jumped on the anti-Russia bandwagon, is because they believe that they, you know, that Russia is the great Satan and is going to be lead the war against Christ at the Battle of Armageddon and all that. And that's why they have done this, which is totally an error. The Bible teaches nothing of the sort, and this is all propaganda by the Schofield futurists who, you know, were paid lock, stock, and barrel by the Zionists to create a false narrative relative to Israel. And of course, the dispensationalists have jumped on this, and they've carried it ever since. And 80% of the evangelical Christians in America today believe that nonsense. But, Jerry, that's a little background as to why the Christians were so quick to accept the anti-Russia, pro-Ukraine narrative when all this started.
It's just been, well, it's been browbeaten into people that have listened to their pastor and not read their own Bible and done their own thinking. You know, we have the greatest teacher ever in the Holy Ghost. And if you read the Bible and you ask God to help your understanding, then the answers come.
It did for me.
Yes, sir. Well, Chuck, thanks again, buddy, for coming on. I greatly appreciate you spending an hour with us. And, man, I love just chatting with you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And do I have time to put out the website one more time?
Yes, please.
My website is chuckbaldwinlive.com. And the Liberty Fellowship website for the fellowship I pastor is libertyfellowshipmt.com. All of our DVDs there, the prophecy messages, the books that we carry are all there. And a lot of information, my columns are archived on my website, so people can go there, and the things that we've been talking about on this program are all on the website. So it's chuckbaldwinlive.com, and then the fellowship is libertyfellowshipmt.com. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Pastor Chuck. You have a blessed day, my friend. I will talk to you again soon.
Yeah, it's always great to be with you.
Okay, that was my guest, Pastor Chuck Baldwin. We want to thank you so much for giving us an hour of your time, and I pray you'll tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.